In a few minutes, remember from your history, war bonds? What about social bonds? I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning. The number of COVID deaths is rising in America, officially at 130,000 deaths in the U.S. now. And the real number is likely higher. A study in the Journal of the American Medical Association strongly suggests we are undercounting. For policy planners and hospitals, that could change their calculus, Marketplace's Jasmine Garst reports.
Unsurprisingly, in March through May, there were more deaths in the U.S. than usual, around 122,000 more than expected. But only 95,000 of those deaths were officially attributed to COVID-19. Now, researchers say many of the remaining deaths, up to 28% more, may have been COVID-19 related. Anything from people who avoided going to the hospital for heart attacks to people who were just never properly diagnosed. Farzad Mostashari is one of the authors of the study.
It turns out there are a lot more people dying at home of heart attacks during peak COVID in New York City than you would have expected.
This has serious implications for hospitals. Dr. Amish Adalja is with Johns Hopkins University.
They may not ask for the correct amount of mechanical ventilators or personal protective equipment or personnel that they might may need.
In other words, he says, underreporting can translate into being underprepared. I'm Jasmine Garst for Marketplace.
Checking markets, the FTSE stock index in London is up 0.6%. Here, the Dow future is up 236 points, 0.9%. The S&P future up 0.6%. The NASDAQ future up 0.4%. We're watching for the official jobs report covering the month of June, due in about an hour and a half. The forecast is for the unemployment rate to come down just slightly to 12.5%. We will see.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Now to low interest rate opportunities for nonprofits, including philanthropies. For charities lucky enough to have endowments, big pools of money that generate returns through investments, the tax rule is 5%. At least 5% of nonprofit endowment has to be given out each year. Charities worry about keeping that nest egg for future generations and are generally loath to give out more. But the huge philanthropy set up originally by the son of car magnate Henry Ford has just embarked on a new strategy. It is issuing what it calls social bonds. The Ford Foundation is borrowing $1 billion so that it can give out more money in this emergency. Darren Walker is Ford Foundation president. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you, David, for having me.
All right. The Ford Foundation is rich, yet you're taking on debt. That's a liability. Eventually you have to pay back. If there was no risk, you would have done this already. Why now?
Why now? Our nonprofits are experiencing financial duress. They're experiencing canceled fundraisers, canceled corporate sponsorships, while at the very time, need is up. So our nonprofit sector needs more capital now. So we must pay out more than our traditional 5%. But it's difficult to do that during a time of market volatility, because our endowment managers advise us that it's not prudent for the long-term growth and sustainability of the foundation endowment to do that. So what's the option? The option in a time when the federal fund policy has changed to a zero Fed funds rate, it's also an opportunity to borrow at historically low rates. So the Ford Foundation is borrowing, and in fact closed, on a $1 billion first-of-its-kind social bond. And so we believe that this is a prudent way to manage our investments responsibly while at the same time addressing the urgent need to give away more money.
So you're going to probably end up here with $1 billion that you didn't know you had before. What are you going to do with that?
We are going to allocate it to institutions working on the front lines for justice in the United States and in other parts of the world, organizations working on including all Americans in voting, organizations who are providing solutions as we think about how to reimagine our law enforcement system. We're going to fund organizations working on the criminal justice system and ending mass incarceration, as well as our national arts and culture treasures. These organizations are at risk. And if we do business as usual, we will watch many of them fall off a cliff.
Now, we're talking not just in the midst of a pandemic, but of course, at a time of new energy in the social justice movement since the killing of George Floyd. Is it your sense that people of privilege are now more galvanized to push for the actions that will really change the system?
While I certainly believe that the murder of George Floyd made abundantly clear the pain of African Americans in this country that go beyond policing. And I believe for white people who do not want to live in a racist America, I think watching his murder was heartbreaking for many white Americans. But the hearts of African Americans have been broken for over 400 years because of racism in America. And now we all understand the depth of that. So I am encouraged. I'm encouraged because I see CEOs, I see philanthropists, and I see activists saying the same message that Black lives matter. Now let's see if we really mean it.
Darren Walker, president of the Ford Foundation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
Now, I also get Darren Walker's view on how to reimagine the economy, marketplace.org, if you missed that part of the conversation on the air. Now, it didn't take a pandemic to make economic inequality a persistent challenge in America. We're interested in how inequality can play out within families, in a household, or among generations of the same family. Did the pre-COVID economy fail some members of your family while rewarding others? How does that play out when your family gets together? We are talking to families. We would love to hear from you about yours. Email me. I'll look at all of them. Use morningreport@marketplace.org for that. morningreport@marketplace.org is the email address. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.